Call to order the informal meeting of the Johnson County Board of Supervisors for July 30th, 2015. The first item on our agenda is the Johnson County 4-H Council, and we have a presentation from 4-H youth. Camille Marshek and Janet Martin will be with us this morning from 4-H. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Janet Martin. I'm a 4-H Youth Development Specialist. I'm representing also Cami Marshek, who is our County 4-H Youth Coordinator, and Lizzie Clement. Raise your hand, Lizzie, who is our Summer 4-H Intern. We are so pleased that you're here at the Johnson County Fair and support all the variety of 4-H programs. With me is Kelsey Beasley, who's an accomplished, excellent, outstanding 4-H'er, and she's going to talk to you a little bit about her experiences in 4-H.
Hi, everyone. Like Janet said, my name is Kelsey Beasley. I'm from the Sharon Center Sensations 4-H Club. This past year, I was actually the president of Youth Council, and we some of the bigger accomplishments we did this year were the 4K for 4-H, and last night we had our Celebrity Bucket Bottle Show, which was a lot of fun. Throughout my 4-H career, I've been involved in numerous activities, like projects like health, food nutrition, photography, visual arts, genealogy, and many more. I was also on the Queen's Court this year, so that was a lot of fun. And yeah, just welcome to the paradise.
Where do you go to school?
I just graduated from Iowa City West High School.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you for participation in 4-H. It's a great, great group. Mm-hmm.
Kelsey, can you talk about this celebrity calf showing? Because I heard some smack being talked last night from State Senator and Reserve Deputy Kevin Kinney that he got a ribbon and the sheriff didn't. So could you talk about why showing a calf, how that worked?
Yeah, well, how we got the idea for this is at the State Fair, there's the Governor's Steer Show, and they have celebrities showing steers and then they auction them off. So the Youth Council wanted to do a smaller version of that, have Johnson County celebrities and have bucket bottle calves. And we really wanted to, the main reason for this was to help the clubs get more connected. We don't really have any activities at the fair to help all the clubs see each other. So we had so each club would sponsor a cow and then they would get to dress up their calf however they wanted to, just to make it a fun experience. There was the whole Scooby-Doo, everyone, Minions were there. My club did a spin-off on the Hunger Games. We named our cow Calfness Everything. So yeah, it was the cow on fire. We had a firefighter showing her, so that was a lot of fun. And yeah, we had 3 awards for that. We had People's Choice, where we walked around and everyone put money in buckets to choose who would win that one for the club. And then we had Best Theme, and then Best Presentation, I'm pretty sure, with how well the person showed the calf. And those were the judges chose from that.
That's cool.
But the sheriff did a wonderful job.
Yes, the sheriff did a wonderful job. Yeah.
I don't know where Kevin is, but he was like prancing around last night showing off his ribbon.
That's good.
So you made a state senator happy.
Good. That's good.
And Terrence is over here showing off his trophy.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yes, I do have the second place finisher of the sunflower seed spitting contest right here. Very proud. I'll be displaying that. I'll be signing autographs later. So it's all good right here.
Does that have anything to do with being a blowhard?
Yes, it does. In fact, I've got extra seeds to blow at you all if you don't vote right, the right way. So
we talk about this every year, but can we talk about it again? Because you got asked the question this morning at breakfast, 4-H is just not for rural kids. Can you explain that?
Yeah, 4-H is definitely not just for rural kids. Actually, this year I helped start a 4-H club at Grantwood Elementary for more urban kids. Obviously, it was all just for elementary kids. It's a specialized club for knitters and sewers, so that was really cool to be a part of that. They really didn't know much about 4-H, so it was great to go there and tell them about it, and they were really excited about it. It was great to see them. So, I mean, that just really proves that you don't have to show cows or show sheep or anything. You can do projects and get just as great of an experience out of it.
Yeah.
And to follow up that, most of those displays are in the Montgomery Hall. Anyone has the opportunity to go in and see those. It's really worth seeing, and all the youth that they work that's gone into those projects.
Definitely, yeah.
Kelsey, thanks for what you do, and thanks for telling us all about 4-H. Mm-hmm. My four sisters were members of 4-H. I was a scout, but my mother was a 4-H leader when I grew up, and my favorite thing of the year, actually the summer, was going to the county fair, just like it still is. I just really enjoy seeing the projects, going through exhibits, midway. Everything about the county fair is just delightful, and we always refer to it as the 4-H County Fair. And we didn't live on a farm. My dad was a large animal vet, so I spent a lot of time on the farm, but I wasn't a farmer. And so my family's affiliation with 4-H has given me the appreciation of 4-H all of my life. And so thanks to the leaders of 4-H, thanks to all the youth that's involved in it. I think those structured activities teach you so much about life and leadership. And I'm sure you've learned a lot in your years in 4-H that you will take on as you move forward in life, and there'll be lessons valuably learned. So thanks.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Before 4-H, I was very shy. I couldn't get in front of people and talk. And now I'm not nervous at all. I love talking to people. I love doing presentations. That's one of my favorite parts of 4-H now. And it turned me into a leader, which is great.
What are your plans for next year?
I plan to attend Iowa State University, majoring in elementary education with my endorsement in math.
Super.
Good for you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Janet.
Okay, next is elected officials' reports and inquiries. We'll start with our county recorder, Kim Painter. She and the treasurer have a commitment, so they'll be going first here.
Clapping's encouraged at this meeting.
For elected officials.
Mr. Chairman, you all did a great job getting through that agenda this morning. Jeez, I've been very impressed.
Kim has a meeting at 10, so we were told to hustle along.
I have so much power, who knew? Welcome, everyone. It's great to see everybody out at the fair this year. It's always fun to come out here and visit, and I appreciate the board inviting us to come out. And next year, I'll be sure I have no conflicting commitments. In the past year, the recorder's office has seen an explosion in e-recordings of documents, with about 50% of our documents being electronically submitted. This allows businesses to avoid costly overnight mailing fees or fees for hand-carrying documents, and thus creates a better climate for businesses in real estate and related industries. Internally, we've reduced paper consumption as well. The office also expanded online offerings to include items from our oversized files for site plans. These are often architectural in nature and are not recorded, but come in with documents for things like parking ramps, malls, and so forth. We file them so researchers can access them during business hours. And over time, our conversion project should allow us to eliminate the need for on-site storage of these paper files. We are integrating our birth, death, and marriage processes into a statewide centralized vital record system, still fairly new. Over time, this system will allow greater flexibility to reporters in providing service across county boundaries, which will be good news for everyone. And credit card payment acceptance was added to the recorder's office this year as well. And many of our customers are availing themselves of that particular service. Overall, in the past year, recording fees have been down due to many shifts in the housing market. We know we've seen kind of a sunset on a lot of the refinancing activity that generated many documents and therefore many fees. It's hard to know at this point what the new normal will be, but we're working on that and doing our best working with finance to predict that budget. And finally, I just say, be sure to check out the tabs at the top of our search site. Records now go back to 1966, and there's a fraud alert system called Property Check to which anyone may subscribe for free by registering. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim.
I'll answer any questions, too.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next is our county treasurer, Tom Kritz.
Good
morning, John.
Well, thanks, Pat. Hey, good morning. Appreciate you getting us on early. I'm Kim's driver today, so I just want to know that I get her here and get her back in time for a conference call. Just briefly today, I thought I'd go over just a couple of things. You've probably seen it. You come in and building all the time. When we finish business tomorrow, in the months of May, June, and July, we will have transferred 10,000 vehicles in Johnson County. That's how vibrant the car sales have been in this community in the last 3 months. We keep thinking that'll drop off, that'll change, but it continues to grow and grow and grow. So that taxes our staff pretty good. It keeps them really busy. That's why you've seen some lines, and that's why some people have encountered some lines. We have some very aggressive car dealers in town now, which changed the scope of how cars are sold. And so we're continuing to see that kind of volume. So it keeps everything hopping. We try to remind people, we open at 7:45 and we're there till 5:30, Monday through Friday. And at most times during that time, you're going to find lines of people, unfortunately, because of that volume. So bear with us as we get through this. Sooner or later, everybody in this community, I think, will have a new car, and we'll get through that. But right now, we're just trying to deal with that crunch. The other thing I wanted to visit this morning, just briefly about, are tax statements. Those are those wonderful things you can't wait to get, but you don't really want. Well, once again this year, our legislator, the governor's office, messed around with budgets and things, so we didn't even get figures from the state until just this week. Normally, we try to have the statements in people's hands in July. Right now, it appears our tax statements will probably, because of the backlog of all the counties trying to get theirs out through the various mailing services, they probably will not hit the residents in Johnson County until about the 20th of August, which is a fairly short window. Nothing we could do about it. As I said, the auditor's office just got figures from the state on their part of it this week. And that office is working diligently to try to get that done so we can start to produce tax statements. So I guess the good news is you don't have it yet. The bad news is you will get it. And on top of that, keep in mind, with recent legislative changes and rollbacks for commercial and apartments and things, it is shifting the burden every year to the homeowner. So you're going to see decreases in taxes for apartment complexes and businesses. You are going to see increases on the homeowner's side of it. So I just pre-warn everybody there, that has to balance out. And unfortunately, that shift is gone to the homeowners. And you'll probably see a 3-5% increase with this year's tax cycle. So we'll get them out as soon as possible. Reminding once again, it's easy to pay your taxes online at www.iowataxandtags.gov. You can remit your tax payments via mail, but it's a much slower process, as we know how the U.S. Postal Service is evolving. So for 40 cents, you can use an e-check. You can take care of everything. We have it in the office that next morning and things are processed, so I encourage people to use the internet site and use the e-check function. 40 cents is almost a dime less than the cost of the stamp, and you know we'll get it the next day. So with that, any other questions?
Tom, how many registered vehicles are we approaching in Johnson County?
We're approaching 140,000 now, and that's not counting students who keep their vehicles registered at home.
So we have like 143,000 residents is the new estimate? That includes children.
Right.
So there's 140,000 registered vehicles here.
Vehicles, and that's buses, that's motorcycles, that's mopeds, trailers, anything we have to register. But it's a lot. It's a lot for this community. And as I say, the key to that is that's not the students with their cars from Buchanan County and Cedar County and Washington County, but from all the counties. Yeah.
Tom, on the news yesterday, they had a figure that the average car on the road was about 11 years old, and I kind of found that hard to believe. Do we find that consistent with what happens in Johnson County?
No, that's totally inconsistent with what happens here. We're seeing many 1-, 2-, and 3-year-old cars now being traded in. That's because of leases, and leases have become extremely popular, where you lease a car for 3 years and then you get another one. it's nice to have a new car, but you have a payment forever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah. So no, they don't. They never own a car. They're always leasing.
They're leased. That's exactly right. But it does provide you with reliable transportation, low maintenance for those periods of time. So there are positive aspects to it. It's just, it goes on forever that way too. But that's not typical of our community.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is our county sheriff, Ronnie Kirkhartner. Well, if he wants to, that would be fine.
He was saving the hat for last, I think.
I was.
They're both in uniform.
Travis was cracking wise that he wasn't going to be here to hear this, so I told him I was going to drag this out for a half hour. So as I hear the entities talk about their work hours, our office is open 24/7, 365, so we are always open for business. Obviously, this year has been a pretty busy year. We had a very successful rag ride come through. If you are all familiar with the route coming into Johnson County, it was pretty demanding, so we had a lot of resources that we had out, a lot of deputies and reserves. Our reserves have come through with flying colors, helping us out this year. Obviously, at the fair, you see a large presence with the sheriff's office, with the traffic control and our presence, and we appreciate that opportunity. As for Senator Kinney and him dogging me, I did win the chicken throw contest again this year, so I was in the rubber chicken, so I'm not a total loser this year, but I'll take that up with Senator Kinney, or Reserve Deputy Kinney, whatever that is, whichever title he wants today. But it was fun to do the calf leading. My theme was a little bit different, where I wasn't actually the one leading the calf. So I was the only one not leading the calf, but mine was the cattle rustler thing. So I had a lariat, a little horse on a pony on a stick thing, and I was going after the guy that was leading my calf around. Apparently I didn't spin the lariat correctly or something, I don't know. But the other thing going on with the sheriff's office, we're about to wrap up our remodeling project in the jail, which has been huge and not necessarily problem-free, but they're hoping to be out of there this week or early next week. So that's what's going on with the sheriff's office.
Lonnie rode Rag Bri and had to leave early to come back and work. So
I did. I rode the first 5 days of Rag Bri, which was, as Janelle will say, was a great route. I was a little worried about the first day. Everybody said how bad it was going to be, but really, I didn't think it was too bad. But our goal was to ride to Hiawatha, but we ended up quitting in Benton and came home to get ready for our own Rag Bri issues. So it was it's always a lot of fun when they come to town. I missed not riding the whole thing, not participating in the whole thing, but it is what it is.
Well, and your deputies, I mean, across the state, law enforcement is integral to this event because while the roads aren't closed, it's problematic to drive on them. And at every intersection, highway patrol, county sheriff's deputies, city police, they're out there. Rag Bri is great economic development for our county, but it's kind of a pain in the neck to be a host. But it was a great party, and at least you got to ride 4.5 days.
Yeah, and it really is amazing how many people come from out of state to ride Rag Bri. I can't tell you the number of people. I was talking to a guy from California, and we got to yakking about the roads, and I said, well, I've never been on. He said that this was his first time to our state and riding the roads, and I said, well, this is my first time on this road, and he said, well, we have something in common then. But he said there's probably a gazillion roads in California he hasn't been on, so yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, sir. Next is our own Uncle Sam, our auditor, Travis Whiteman.
Good morning. Of course, I see Janelle's got to get the photo in right away. Let's start out. We'll talk about the mock election. Everybody knows every year we have a mock election over in the B building. This year you can vote on presidential candidates, Republican or Democrat side, but most importantly, you can vote for your favorite superhero, which the kids seem to really enjoy. Yesterday, to give you an update, at 3 p.m., we had 770 people come through and vote our mock election. That's the highest ever turnout coming into a caucus year. So we think that's pretty impressive that everybody's getting out and voting. For the superheroes, Wonder Woman is leading the pack.
Let's hear it for Wonder Woman.
And that includes, well, she's beating Batman. There's a little bit of electioneering going on with Batman. I think there's a few staff members in the auditor's office working the polls wearing Batman shirts. So
electioneering apparently is legal this week. They're not allowed to get away with it any other time, but the actual staff are wearing Batman t-shirts. So.
And then on the Democratic side, we had Hillary leading Bernie Sanders right now. And on the Republican side, it's very close, but it's Trump over Scott Walker. And he had a two-vote lead over Bobby Jindal. So find that kind of interesting. We know the Republicans are doing a little bit of their own polling. And we're finding that our numbers are matching their little bean contest that they're doing, which we think is quite interesting. One other thing the auditor's office is doing, I'm sure everybody's heard about it, is community ID program. We're about to hit the 500th ID number, which we think is awesome. So if you're interested in getting a community ID or want to know more, contact the office, go out on our website, go out on the county's website. There's all kinds of info out there. Businesses are offering discounts. Stop down. It's real easy to get one. It only takes a couple minutes, and we'll get you through the process. So. And if you can think of anything next year to have on the ballot for the kids, we're taking suggestions on Twitter or email the office.
Thank you, Travis.
Travis, I tried to do a little bit of electioneering online. A lot of people think I look like Tony Stark, so I kind of was running an underground campaign for Iron Man, and he actually seems to be bringing up the rear of the superheroes, so shows you what kind of weight I carry in the county.
Well, I think a lot of the younger kids probably don't have Facebook, so you're not.
That's it.
You need to focus a little better on your election year.
I need to target.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So
all jokes aside, Travis, I think this question for young people to be able to vote, I mean, they're actually using real ballots, real election equipment, and you told me a story earlier about you were trying to help someone, and what did he tell you?
Yeah, I had a young kid come up, ask, said he wanted to vote, so we get it, have him sign his name, hand him the ballot. But I said, I'll go over and help you fill the ballot out, and he looked at me and said, I know how to do this, I did it here last year. And he went over, voted, put it right to the machine, handed us the folder, asked for his I voted sticker, and went on. So.
And, you know, I think voting is a learned behavior, and while it's a big joke and we're all having fun with superheroes, kids are actually voting and participating. Talking about Iron Man, some kid yesterday said to me, I want Iron Man to win. And I said, go outside the barn and start recruiting people to come in and vote for Iron Man. So, you know, they can start running their own little campaigns here. I saw some kids in costume voting, which was really funny.
Yep. So hopefully, you know, like I said, depending on what we do next year, if we do another theme, maybe we'll try to get people to dress up. But we're taking suggestions. I mentioned some ideas to you already. But, yep.
Can you talk about the upcoming elections? Because you have a real job.
Yep. So September 8th, school elections. And that's a good point. Papers have been filed. I know we have candidates out here already today. If you're filing school election papers, there's some confusion and law changes. All school election papers need to be delivered to the school board of the school district, not the auditor's office. The school election, September 8th. City election will be November 3rd. Now, a change in law, you used to deliver those papers to the city hall. Those now come to the auditor's office. Don't ask me why we do all this shifting around. The auditors aren't for accepting those papers, but now city races bring those papers down to the auditor's office.
You know, I actually heard why they changed that. With so many small towns, the clerks work strange hours, and the day that would be the filing deadline, they were having to pay overtime to bring somebody in, that kind of thing.
Why make the schools go to the school? I mean,
I don't know.
Should be turned in at the auditor or not.
That's why they changed the cities.
And one other concern with the auditors is a lot of the eastern western counties, their county seats are on the far end of the county. So you have people driving 40 minutes from the west side of the county all the way to the east just to drop off city papers. I know it was voted on by the auditors to try to push that legislative change back the other way this upcoming year.
Travis, on the school board, has the filing deadline passed?
Yes, I believe it. Is it next week? I haven't looked. Oh, it is
today.
Yeah, yep, that's right. So
today at 5 o'clock, I imagine.
When the office is closed, yep.
And city is a week from now? 2 weeks from now?
For filing papers? Well, that would only be a primary because,
right.
Yeah. But I'd have to check the deadline, but yeah, it is coming up also. But we have not heard anything on a University Heights primary, and Iowa City, I'm sure we will, but everybody's kind of holding their cards close to their vest. And we have our feelers out there like normal, so if you hear anything, let us know.
Travis, I just wanted to thank you and your staff for taking the lead on the community ID. We needed a home for it to start, and in the long term, it probably isn't going to be the auditor's office, but to get through this crunch, it's been really helpful. A little bit of a downtime for your election staff to work on the community ID. And I would urge everyone to go out and to the auditor's office, just stop by and get your community ID, and they'll start mailing them in the next week or so as they get the paperwork cleared.
No, we're happy to do it, and I think we've had a lot of fun learning the process. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Tim Rogers is here. He's with the Fair Board. He wanted to speak at our formal. However, they had a board meeting this morning, so I'm going to allow him to speak now.
Pat, we should mention that County Attorney Janet Linus is
That's
on
right.
the agenda, but Janet got subpoenaed for a court case in Washington County, and so was here early this morning but had to go to Washington County, so she regrets that she couldn't be here for the fair meeting.
Thank you.
Suffice it to say her office is busy.
Morning, Jim.
I'm your vice president on the fair board this year. I want to welcome everybody to the fair. The guys in the blue shirts like this are the guys behind the scenes to make everything go smooth. If there's some issues, we take care of it. And second of all, I want to thank this board right here for the continued support they give down here. This fairground is free. It's a very time-consuming stuff to have to do. Keep everything down here for the Millennium District. They do a great job with the traffic control. I mean, we don't have no issues with it. We've got all kinds of fun events going on today. We've got a bingo game going on in Building 8 from 2 to 4. High contest in the 10 from 1 to 5 at 4 o'clock. There's an auction. And I know Supervisor Harney has a pie in there. I have a pie in there. Terrence Hugel has a pie in there. Next year, I expect to see 5 pies.
I'm going to have to hire Terrence to make it, though,
because
I can't
care.
Cook.
We don't care who makes your pie. I'd probably come out of Jones County.
And so you admit that?
I'll admit.
Imported.
Well, Tim, thanks for all you guys do. I mean, there's a lot of different nonprofit, boards and commissions and stuff, but very few of them take on something as big as this. You guys do a great job, and I know that you're all volunteers, and it's wonderful, so thank you.
And it seems like the community is not afraid to step up and help us out. It's like Monday night, 5 o'clock, spring. What do we have Monday night by the traffic pulse? 3:30, I'm looking for a motor grader. Go to PCI, send me a motor grader at 6 o'clock. Done. I mean, pretty easy to get people to step up and help them.
Yes. It's behind the scenes things that really work. And we would really like to thank the Fair Board. I mean, they work very hard at this. At the same time, this is one of the very few free fairs for people to come and attend. And there's no fee to get in, there's no parking fees, and they come in and enjoy the fair.
I think it's the only free fair left in Iowa tonight.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And tonight at 9 o'clock or 8:30, we'll have a presentation of colors up here at the south into the outdoor arena. Following that, for the introduction of the fair board, and we have 8 wood carvings that one of our entertainment acts carved Monday and Tuesday. Then we'll be up for auction, and then following that, we have fireworks.
And while the fair is free, you have a fundraiser tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, we have an event we started about 3 years ago called the Friday Night Main Event. It's a carnival, a rodeo, and a dance. Tickets today through noon tomorrow are $15. Afternoon tomorrow, it's going to cost you an extra $5 more. But it's a fun time, and we use that money to also help finance projects or fairgrounds.
Thought I'd ask for Terrence, is there going to be polka music?
No, there's not going to be polka music. I believe the band is Gunner and the Grizzly Boys.
So people want tickets, they grab a blue shirt.
They grab a blue shirt, they go to the fair board office.
You can announce it.
If you want tickets, I got two in my pocket. I got a lot more in my vehicle.
Tim, you have a booth in Building C, too, where I bought mine.
Mm-hmm. Is there somebody that's available to make that booth?
There's tickets there.
Yep.
I need two.
I can handle it. Thank you for coming to the fair, and hopefully we can keep it a free fair for many years to come.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you and the entire board.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Right.
Thanks.
I got it.
Hi.
Next is update from Economic Development and Quality of Life Partners. The first one up is the Rural Health and Safety Clinic of Greater Johnson County.
Good morning, Linda.
Faces look very familiar.
Yeah, identify yourself for the auditor so they have any record.
My name is Linda Yoder, and I am representing the Rural Health and Safety Clinic of Greater Johnson County. Roger Stutzman is supposed to be on an airplane right now, but of course, if you know anything about airlines.
I saw him walk by a few minutes ago.
Well, it was delayed. He was supposed to be almost to Seattle by now. And we had a little trouble getting the trailer open. The trailer for Rural Health and Safety Clinic is right around the side of this building here. And I haven't been here yet at your nice fair this year. And so didn't know where the key was. And Roger had to come down and open it. And he doesn't leave till 1:45 today. From 7 to 1:45. Anyway, I am from Iowa County. And I must say, we do have a free county fair.
Well, there you go.
Not the size of this county, but it is a free county fair. So you'll have to excuse me. I'm going to be using a cheat sheet here. I am a former county supervisor. That's why I know most of these nice people up here. Some of the activities in the past year for the Rural Health and Safety Clinic are ATV training, which is extremely important. You know that ATV can be very dangerous for any level of a person, whether especially children who use them a lot. We had ATV training at the Amana Farms, Kirkwood College, Stutzman Inc., Auburn Hills, and Stickler Farms north of here. 45 farmer workers participated, and we developed a new training program working with University of Iowa Hospitals, Pediatrics. Dr. Chuck Jensen helped with that, and Geneva Dennison. And we received a grant from Great Plains Center for the ag health part of that. We're here at the Johnson County Fair this year, and we have the safety trailer demo, which is right over there. It shows about safety in grain bins, safety on rollovers. There's a small Ford tractor over there that has a rollover bar on it that can be fitted on old tractors, as you know. I live on a farm, and we have two very old tractors. There are no roll bars, because my husband doesn't believe in that. But anyway, that's where a lot of the farmers get killed, is when they're out mowing and doing things like that on their old-style tractors that are either a tricycle type, and they get too close to the edge, and then they're either seriously injured or they get killed when they roll over because there's nothing to protect them. Okay. We work on hearing loss prevention. We've been working with high schools. We work with FFA instructors. I think all the instructors in the four-county area, I should mention to you, this is Washington County, Keokuk County, Iowa County, and Johnson County. And we are going to be expanding, as I know the supervisors have heard, we're going to be expanding out to a larger area also to cover more counties in eastern Iowa. We are here for, we did hear the Ag Fest days recently at the fairgrounds right here. We did safety demonstrations, children's education, and one of the things that we encourage is to have children and their parents together, because it's important to have both answer questions about safety on the farm, and after they answer the questions, everyone wins a prize. You don't have to get them all right. You just have to, you know, learn about it. It's all a learning experience. September 19th will be Ag Youth Safety Day here at the Johnson County and Iowa County. It will be held, actually it's going to be held in Amana. There's another thing that the supervisors are aware of, but I wanted to make the other people aware of. Earlier this year, our executive director resigned from the center. And at that time, we didn't have anyone else picked out to be our executive director. So Roger Stutzman, Rich Gassman, Dr. Niall Kaufman, Kelly Dunham, and myself have stepped up to keep the clinic going, to keep the programs going, and to make sure that this moves forward. Also, some other people I'd like to recognize are Christy Ruth, Sarah Billert, Janet Wilson, Rob Stout, Lauren Steinwich, and Guy Summers. And almost everybody here knows who Guy Summers is, right? Well, Guy has really been good. He has helped us a lot. So, and one more thing I would like to do is thank the Johnson County supervisors for their support for this organization. Every year they give money to help keep this organization going, and we are very, very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Well, I guess that's very important for the health and safety of our rural folks.
Yes, it is. I'll just tell a very personal story quickly, and it's perfectly fine. When I was raised in Washington County, close to where the Highland High School is. You all know where that is. Okay, I was raised on a five-generation family farm that was homesteaded in 1854. And I am the oldest of four children. I was going to a one-room country school when a neighbor came one day and got me and said, there's been an accident at your place. My brother, who was 3 years old, got out of the yard, we had an old house with the, a wrought iron fence around there, excuse me, and he was following to see where his dad had gone. Well, my father had a truck parked in an alleyway of a corn crib. Everybody knows what the old-fashioned corn cribs are like? And I'm sure you're going to guess what happened. My father accidentally ran over my brother. So, and it's not something to be sad about, because it's made me learn how important it is for health and safety on the farms. The farms is one of the most dangerous occupations and areas for adults and children to live on. And we do need to be aware of the rural safety, not just for the farmers, but for their families, for the people who work on the farms. And this is why I helped Roger get this started several years ago, and I feel it is really an important organization to help teach our rural families how to keep themselves safe in a farming environment.
Okay. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Next is the Johnson County Food Policy Council.
Good morning. Is this working?
Yes.
Yep. You know what? I am going to hold it. I'm used to platforms or something. Anyway, thank you for having us today. Again, my name is Michelle Kenyon. I am the chair of the Johnson County Food Policy Council, which was established in 2012. We've had 3 full years as a council together, thanks to the support of the Johnson County Board of Supervisors. We've had around 30 meetings
we plan two large public forums and two small, tiny ones as well. We have done a lot of research and outreach with the community, and again, it's been 3 full years. We've had at least three representatives from the county attend each of our meetings. Vicki Miller, a board representative, Sally Stutzman, and now Ron Sullivan. I skipped one.
John.
John Embridge. And of course, RJ. And now we have Josh. And every year you've allowed us to do public outreach with our public forums and allowed us to meet every month and explore these issues. And thank you for your support. Today, we are actually at the county fair. We have a booth. This tonight from 4 to 7 will we be giving out, actually welcoming folks with tasty, locally sourced treats, and to welcome them to learn more about what the council is working on right now. We took our current priorities, our recommendations that we presented last month to you, and reduced them down to a little cheat sheet. With the help of one of our members, who's a graphic artist, and we gave him the language. The Johnson County Board of Supervisors created the Food Policy Council to identify and prioritize policies and opportunities for the Board of Supervisors that support the Johnson County local food system. And we have broken that down to our current priorities right now, which are county pork farm, different policy opportunities that support agritourism and value-added processing and small farmers, local food promotion, which we've made great waves with, working towards a local label for Johnson County, and also working with the land use plan with updates that would further protect our soil and enhance our water quality. So if you come to our booth today, you'll be able to let us know what your priorities are and learn more about the council and learn more about the work that the Board of Supervisors has done to meet these goals. Again, we're very thankful for your support. We wouldn't support a stronger local food system if you didn't create us. So, and you've been very active at our public forums, being an active leader in the state, speaking on how we can further strengthen our community food system. Thank you again.
Well, thank you, Michelle, and we appreciate all that you folks are doing. People tend to forget that these are appointments, that they're volunteers, they're not paid anything. They really dedicate their time and their work into making these groups move forward.
Michelle, where is your booth located from 4 to 7 today?
That's a good question. We're actually right next to the auditor's office.
They're part of ours.
Part of the Johnson County booth in Building B.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michelle, sorry.
The county has taken this further than just having a food policy advisory board. We've decided to hire our own staff member. We've been accepting applications. Rod, you're on the committee. Could you give us an update?
I think it closes Friday at 5, so there's still time for people to get applications in. We've got a few in right now, and we're excited to get moving forward with it.
We decided there was so much work to be done and so much advocacy and public relations and also with the pork farm that we felt that it was important to have a county staff member assigned to this. And we're actually flexible of whether it's half-time, three-quarter time, or full-time based on who the applicants are. But we feel there's plenty of work to be done. And so I'm excited about that change coming in the next couple of months.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. And thanks, everybody on the Food Policy Council for their work. They've done just amazing work. The two annual forums that you've had have just been so both educational and entertaining, I would say. And I was just glad to be part of both of them. And it shows what interest we have in Johnson County in local foods. And I'm glad that the supervisors can help kind of step our game up to match maybe the supply of local food with the demand for local food. So thank you for your service. Thanks to the board and the policy council. And great things are coming.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'll pass it on to everybody.
Thank you, Michelle. Next is our 1105 kitchen toolkit.
And there's the cow. Yeah.
Time, morning.
Forget what it mooed on last year. It was so funny.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
A little closer. Okay.
A little closer. A little closer?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that good? Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm Jessie Singerman, and along with Jason Grimm from the Agri Valley Resource Conservation Development, and Jessica Bird Foley, Fogarty, who's not here with us, and thank you, Vitas. We're the primary people involved in the 1105 Kitchen Project. And I want to go back a little bit to remind you that this project actually started in 2013 with the Johnson County Block Grant, which you awarded to facilitate innovative networks to create opportunities for expanding and starting new local food businesses in the county. And as part of that grant, we looked at supply and demand and also what barriers might exist for starting food businesses. And if you remember, we identified a couple of areas that were gaps in the support for local food entrepreneurs. For one thing, there's no central place to go for information. There's only piecemeal support for startups. Resources weren't pulled together in an organized fashion. And nothing was really focused on the specific needs of food businesses, like food safety, food licensing, UPCs, all those things that are really pretty technical when you begin to start a food business. We also identified the lack of a commercial kitchen as being a primary reason that more food businesses were developed in Johnson County. So from there, Jason and Jessica and I went to the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture in 2014, and we got a planning grant to investigate the community interest in starting a food enterprise center, and also to investigate whether there was community support for that. We did that by interviews, surveys, and stakeholder meetings, which you participated in, and looked at the needs for both the Food Enterprise Center and for technical assistance and support for food businesses. We concluded that there was interest and that there was definitely a need, and we made two primary recommendations. And that was to bring available resources and current capabilities under one roof in kind of a toolkit sort of format that could be aimed at those seeking to start a food business. And also that we make use of community resources by creating access to existing commercial kitchens that had excess capacity, like the 1105 kitchen, that were interested in creating a shared use facility. So in 2015, with support of the supervisors, the City of Iowa City, and the University of Iowa, we developed a food enterprise toolkit that will assist the 1105 project staff in renting their commercial space out as a shared use kitchen, and will provide technical assistance resources to food entrepreneurs in Johnson County. And the content for the Food Enterprise Toolkit is done. It's just been completed. All the documents and informational pieces have been finished. We have documents on food licensing that's specific to Johnson County and to the state of Iowa. Food labeling requirements specific to Iowa and the FDA, including requirements for nutritional fat labeling. We also have a section on food safety and all applicable food safety requirements for the Johnson County Public Health Department. And I want to tell you how helpful Rob Tulip has been in this process, who works for Johnson County Public Health. He's a food inspector. He read every section that I wrote on food safety, sanitation, food storage. He read it all. And okayed it. So I want to really give some kudos to him for taking the time to not only let me get information from him, but also make sure that what I put together was actually
was actually okay. We also have information on insurance requirements for food businesses, and business general business assistance, including where to go for business technical assistance and support in the local community in Johnson County, where to market your food product in Johnson County, and how to price your product. We finished a user guide that's got specific instructions for the 1105 kitchen, including rental rates, facility use policies, proper food sanitation, and storage guidelines. Excuse me. The user agreement will be finished in a week or two, so the whole package is done. In addition to the documentation, we assisted the crisis center staff with assessing their needs for additional equipment for the kitchen, for a food, for an approval process for renters, how to kind of go about figuring out whether to rent to this person. We're about to begin a media plan and other outreach activities to local food entrepreneurs, and we're planning an open house in September 24th. We hope you have them on your calendars at the 1105 kitchen to present the toolkit and show off the space. Now, there are three audiences for the completed toolkit. One, obviously, is the 1105 staff and any potential renters of that specific space. Everything they need to get started in the space is available. And the 1105 kitchen does expect to open to renters in September. But in addition, no matter where entrepreneurs make their products, the toolkit will be valuable for anyone starting a food business in Johnson County. And it will be available, easily available on the web for anyone who is thinking about getting started in food. And furthermore, the third audience, we designed the modules so that they can be used to create other shared use kitchens in Johnson County in kind of a plug and play sort of model. Any community kitchen who wants to get started as a shared use space can make use of these documents and really be set up very fast and ready to go. So we want to thank you for your support of the 1105 project, and also just note that really you kicked us off in 2013 with the block grant that got us started on this path to figure out what was missing. So I'd like to turn it over to Jason to talk to you about the web aspect of what we're doing.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
Good morning, board members. Jason Kierlin, Iowa Valley RSPD again. So as Jesse mentioned, two web pieces that we're doing for assisting the 1105 project staff to put the application process, the user guide, the rental agreements, all of those onto their crisis center website. So that's going to be the main portal for when a person wants to rent the kitchen, they'll go to the crisis center website. And partnership with University of Iowa, we've been able to leverage another partnership on campus with UI partners. That office is helping us develop a separate website that'll be at the domain IC Kitchen Connect. That'll be focused on helping others kitchens that want to rent out their kitchen, as well as all of the business resources that Jesse mentioned around labeling, business planning, food licensing will also be on that site. The website IC Kitchen Connect will have two navigations. When someone comes to the website, if you're a kitchen owner, you'll click on the kitchen button, and it'll teach you how to rent out your kitchen and all the things you may need to know about that. And then another aspect will direct people as entrepreneurs on renting kitchens and starting a food business on the website. UA Partners is turning out to be a great partner because they've taught us some tools that we didn't know. The technology is amazing. That we can make these forms available that, like our user agreement, every agreement has to be with a different organization's name on it. So they're going to help us just create a form on the website that organization can fill it out. And then once they fill that out, it'll automatically create a PDF of their agreement already printed, edited for them to start using for their own space. And then, based off of 1105 and other case studies, kitchens around the country, we'll give them other scenarios of different rental rates that they could look at, or kitchen equipment that might be available. During the project, we've been lucky to have Craig Albright from New Pioneer and Melanie Ewell, who's your maiden name. I can't pronounce your new name. Work with Food College. So we toured the New Pioneer's commissary kitchen in North Liberty, and then Kirkwood's training kitchens at the Kirkwood main campus. Both of those two have been great assets in equipment. Craig especially has helped Becky at the Crisis Center think about, instead of putting a steam kettle in, putting in a tilt kettle, which will be usable for more practices in the kitchen. So instead of just making soup in it, they can sear meat in it, they can brown hamburger, they can do all kinds of different things on that tilt kettle, as well as make soup at the same as well. So that'll be a very versatile thing for them to use. So, as well as like a food processor, you know, commercial scale. And, Craig has been available to help us review on cleaning policies kind of based on how they do stuff within their own kitchen. Again, please, I hope you can come to September 24th. We'll be reaching out to some other organizations, like we want to have public health there and Department of Administrations and Fields, and business planning resources from the university to have small booths there for entrepreneurs to come and have questions to answer that day instead of just saying, call this person.
Hopefully, Jason, you can keep that toolkit linked to the public health website as well, because I think people might go there looking for that info too.
Yep. Yeah, we've been talking to ICAD too about having a link from their site as well.
It's great.
Thank you, Jason.
So we're gonna have Becky kind of tell you about, you know, how it's going for our, how they're gonna implement this within their structure.
Jason, tell us again what that website's gonna be.
It's gonna be ickitchenconnect.com.
And it's not up yet, right?
No, it's not up. We have the domain purchase and we're in the building stage. It'll be ready by September 11th.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Becky Reedus with the Crisis Center of Johnson County and the 1105 Project. And I will make sure that you get an email so you get that date for the open house. I'm remiss, I should have done that already. I want Angie out there, Angie Myers, to wave her hand because she's my right hand and my left hand sometimes and the finder of most of my glasses that I use at the office. So she's been really my partner in getting this, and working with this project. And I just have to say that I think it was last fall that I got a call from Jesse Singerman, who told me a little bit about the project that they were working on and wanted to partner with the kitchen, and I jumped at the chance because, as you know, that the 1105 project, the dream was to have some sort of entrepreneurial kitchen, and the programs moved in the final days of December 2013, so they've had a whole year to operate, and I thought I was gonna get something started by spring of 2014, fall 2014, and to be perfectly honest, going through this process with Jesse and Jason and all the others, honestly, I could not have done it on our own. It's been invaluable in terms of doing all the research. Angie and I have learned a lot. We've had the opportunity to meet with them. Angie's toured a few more kitchens than I was able to, just to learn about the process. And our involvement is, they've taught us also in terms of what our involvement will have to be for the kitchen to be operational. Right now, what I'm doing is researching kitchen equipment. 4 years ago, I would not have believed I would be somewhat of an expert in researching kitchen equipment. I can actually tell you how much a 30-quart Hobart mixer costs, and a 20-quart off the top of my head. But we'll be looking at equipment purchases, which the Crisis Center did not include in the budget that was passed in June for this fiscal year, but chose instead to look at that when I had more information. So we are going to be meeting and approving a budget for kitchen equipment purchases. I think it's either August 10th, 11th, or 12th, something like that. As some of you know, that when the kitchen was designed in the pantry space, and I should say that the kitchen's primary use was for the free lunch program, which serves, I think they're serving around 140, 150 a day, but they're going exceeding that quite often. We did build in pantry space for use for local entrepreneurs. So we're busy, you know, taking a look at how we're going to kind of reconfigure that, because without any entrepreneurs in there and using space, we've kind of used all of it up. So we're modifying that, but we also can put structural things in, like the pantry will have refrigerator freezer space for the renters of the kitchen, and that's part of the equipment that we're going to be buying. The tilt skillet, again, is something that we put in the structural part of it, so there's no hammers or drills or anything that need to be picked up in order to modify the kitchen. We kind of prepared for that. We just didn't buy the equipment until we knew what we're going to get. I anticipate that we're going to spend somewhere between probably $12,000 to $18,000 on kitchen equipment yet that's going to make this possible. We did receive a grant from Lucky's Market for $5,000 for our hand up program and kitchen equipment for this project, and we're allocating $4,000 of that from the Lucky's grant to kitchen equipment. And so all I really have to do is find the rest. But one way or the other, we'll figure out what we're going to do with that. I don't know if anybody's got any questions, if I covered everything that you want to hear about space.
I was just going to mention something, and you know, Jesse mentioned that this started with the grant in 2013, but actually it goes way back to when we first started talking about giving this business over to the consortium of agencies led by you folks. And Jason had been talking about this for a long time, and we sort of made it a requirement, if you will, that you guys consider this for some time down the road. So we were forward thinking in terms of that several years ago.
Yes, you invested over $500,000 really in 2012. I think that's when the transfer took place, when we actually purchased the building. And you're right, this project, not only the shared services concept that was just conceptual back then, but also the ability to rent out this kitchen, which provides a space for local producers, entrepreneurs, you know, to come in and have a space that's low cost and that they can rent, but also provide some income, you know, to assist in maintenance of the kitchen. Commercial kitchens, as we're finding, are really expensive to maintain.
Becky, we made it part of the purchase agreement for the building that became 1105, and I remember talking to you about it. You said, it's not that we're opposed to this, we just know nothing about it.
I never had Kitchen 101.
and you know, Jason had told us this was something lacking in our county.
Mm-hmm.
We had a building we were willing to give you. You were going to create a commercial kitchen that's going to get used 4 hours a day. And we collectively thought, there's got to be a way that it could be used more than 4 hours a day. And so this toolkit has been perfect to lead the crisis center into something they never thought they'd be doing. And hopefully, I mean, if you take the investment in 1105 and you take the investments in local foods we're making, you take the investments at the Poor Farm with Grow Johnson County, hopefully that's all going to start merging together, where we're creating economic development, we're creating healthier foods, and we're creating a surplus of those foods that can go to people who are living in poverty. The Crisis Center has a number of how many people are food insecure, and I always round up and I get kind of...
It's closer to 19,000 than it is 18,000. I want to say it's 18,670, but it could be off by 100 or so.
So 19,000 people who are food insecure in our county. And hopefully all these things are going to come together. And you know, the Crisis Center board has had to have a little trust here. But I would say that this 20,000 or whatnot it's going to end up as for the changes in the kitchen in order to make it be there, the greater community should step up. I'm glad that Lucky's gave you the first grant, but that should be the first of several of people stepping up to say, yeah, I believe in this. Let's get this done.
Yeah, I'm willing to go out and talk to anybody about participating with this project.
I just, you know me, and you know I love collaboration. I think it opens up doors and opportunities, and 1105 has just been, you know, I think become an icon in our community of what collaboration can do. Not just with the other communities, but you know, with the Board of Supervisors and the investment in the project, the investment from all the communities that we had in the project, and then the toolkit. You know, the fact that we had this, you know, opportunity. They had a need for a kitchen. We had a kitchen, and you know, we could just what they're doing for us. Let me be clear: we could not have done it on our own at all. When I talk about that, I was looking at, okay, well, maybe we can get this going. I shudder to say I was just looking at developing rental prices with no thought in mind of all the other work that Jesse's done. And she's done a tremendous amount of work and has to keep after Angie and I to review it too, but she's good at that also. So it's been great. And you know, if I can always put a plug in for other organizations to look for ways to collaborate and to share services or to share projects. I think that's what we're seeing, Janelle, in terms of, you know, those of us agencies in Johnson County and individuals that are concerned about food, you know, Grow Johnson County, all the projects that are sprouting up, you know, to help meet that need has just been really great. So love collaboration, just want to see people do more and more.
Thank you, Becky, for you and all your staff and volunteers and everyone that, that works on these projects. It's just real rewarding for our community.
Yeah, and just to plug into my whole staff, they're such hard workers. And today, actually, we're going through accreditation of the Crisis Center, Crisis Intervention Program with Contact USA. So it's a busy week for us.
I think that a couple of us got our arms twisted to come over, so...
We
see you at 2:30.
Of public officials to speak in our behalf. So, and Rod is part of the board. He's on the board for ECR, and so we thought that would be a good fit. And you're going to be speaking for us too. So,
yeah. We'll be over.
I know.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next is Executive Assistant Andy Johnson. Reports and inquiries.
Sure. Want the board to be aware there are several. Openings on boards and commissions that tomorrow is the deadline for applications. That includes the Compensation Commission, the Food Policy Council, the Livable Communities for Successful Aging Policy Board, the SEATS Paratransit Advisory Board, and the Targeted Case Management Advisory Board. So information about those openings are on the website johnson-county.com. Other openings with deadlines pushed out a little bit are the Civil Service Commission, the Historic Preservation Commission, and Juvenile Justice Youth Development Policy Board all have openings as well. And as far as scheduling, next week I won't be there for any of these meetings, but the board has the following. On the 3rd, you have time set aside for some interviews. You'll be hearing from HR Director Laura Schrammach regarding that schedule, and then a work session on Wednesday starting at 9 a.m. I would note that the previously scheduled Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee meeting that was scheduled for that afternoon at 4:30 has been canceled, and we've notified the committee members we'll be sending out some updates electronically. And then the next meeting of the Board of Supervisors is Thursday at 9 a.m. back in the usual spot.
Thank you, Andy. Next is reports from the Board of Supervisors, right?
To me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have very, very little to report today. It's been a great week out at the fair. I just was very happy to show up this morning and see old friend Jean Lakin down here, who was observing our meeting like she used to do for the League of Women Voters, and it was great to see her back in town. And I just hope everybody has a great fair week, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Terrence?
Thanks, Pat. As Ron noted, it's been a great week here at the Johnson County 4-H and FFA Fair. And for those listening, I hope you still have a chance to get on down there. And for those watching, don't forget to come out here next year. It really is. It's about the kids. It's about promotion of agriculture. But it's a whole lot more than that. It's about all the different aspects of the rural community coming together and meeting the urban community. And I think the true character of the Johnson County Fair hasn't been lost, and I hope it never is lost, as we respect the hard work that the kids do put together. If they're working on one of the animals, or if they're working on a quilt, or designing a new shirt, it is quite an amazing amount of talent that Johnson County has. I do want to note that as what was said throughout the week, it has been really great for residents to come on up and approach us here at the the county fair as well. And that's what this job truly is all about. It is all about getting out in the community and letting residents approach you and tell you what's on their mind. And the I would say the minimum wage ordinance is certainly on a lot of people's mind. And so it's great to get an earful from residents and actually communicate with residents beyond just an email. I joked often that when I first joined the Board of Supervisors, I would say it was probably 100 phone calls to 5 emails. And now I would say it's probably 10,000 emails to 1 phone call. And so it's really nice to actually have residents be willing to come on up and tell us what's on their mind. Just the other thing I wanted to report, my next listening post will be coming up here on Friday, August 7, 7 a.m. at the Brugger's in Coralville. So I hold a listening post every week. And so from 7 a.m. till 8 a.m., I'll be on over there hanging out at Brugger's in Coralville. If you want to talk about the minimum wage ordinance or any issue at the local, state, or federal level, let me know more about it. I appreciate, again, all the residents contributing and being a part of the Johnson County 4-H and FFA Fair. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Terrence. Mike?
Well, it's as everybody has said, it's just been a delightful week out here at the fair. I have been coming out here for many, many years, and I've been coming to this meeting for many, many years, and it's great to sit up on the other side. What I really enjoy about the fair is interacting with all the people. I've been getting an earful, positive and negative, about a lot of things that we've been doing, but getting out here and getting out in the community is just so important. I'd like to thank everybody that's involved with this fair. There's a lot of hard work done by a lot of volunteers, and it shows. It's just absolutely one of the best fairs in the state, regardless of whether it's free or a paid fair. This is a great county fair. It brings together our rural and our urban people together. There's a lot of education going on out here. There's a lot of fun going out here. The fair is not over. It goes all day. If you're watching this or listening to this, get out here. It's a beautiful day. There's no humidity. It's going to be a nice, warm, sunny day. Wear some sunblock. Get out here. Enjoy some of the great food, some of the great fun. And then if you can, come out to the rodeo tomorrow night and to the festival. There's tickets available that helps fund this fair. So it remains free to come out, free to park, free to enter, to get into everything. The only thing you have to buy a little bit is maybe some food and some drink. But this is a great fair. Please take advantage of it. And if you can't come out this year, make sure it's on your calendar for next year. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Janelle?
Thanks, everyone. I was on RAGBRAI last week, and I'm still recovering a little bit, so I don't have a lot to report on other than Iowa has been blessed with beautiful weather this year, and RAGBRAI was an example of that. We got rained on a couple of times, but it was nothing to complain about. So I want to thank all the Johnson County residents who put up with RAGBRAI. I know it's a pain in the neck, even though it's good for our economic development. And across the county, as the route came through, thousands of people volunteered. I think Coralville alone had over 700 volunteers working RAGBRAI. So it's a great fundraiser for all kinds of charities, but the volunteers are amazing on RAGBRAI. I want to thank the Fair Board. I see a blue shirt in the back there. Our friendly auctioneer from Solon. These people in the blue shirts, they work a year round making the fairgrounds function, It is very much a working board. They're out here swinging hammers, painting, moving stuff around. The fairgrounds exist year-round. This is a nonprofit that runs the fairgrounds and the fair, and these buildings are available for rent, for storage. A lot of great community events are out here, including some that draw international visitors, such as Jingle Cross, the bicycle race up and down the hill. You will not find me participating in Jingle Cross. I am not riding my bike up and down these hills. But thank you to the fair board and everybody who's participated in the fair. Speaking of volunteers, this morning the Board of Supervisors honored all of our volunteers on our various boards and commissions with breakfast. I can't remember how many years we've been having our meeting at the fair. Is this the fifth year?
Probably four or five,
Four or five, but then this is the second year that we've combined breakfast honoring all of our volunteers on boards and commissions. Andy mentioned earlier a couple of openings on boards and commissions. It takes an army to run the county. We value citizen input very seriously. You can apply at visiting our website, www.johnson-county.com. If you don't get your first selection on board and commission, try again. It's weird how one commission will have a lot of applicants and the next one won't have very many at all. But it's really important for the county and how we operate that we have volunteers, so thank all them. And I just wanted to mention one kind of early warning on an event is Swisher has their annual festival the weekend of August 8th. So that's not this weekend, it's the weekend after. I believe the Swisher Fun Days parade starts at 10 a.m. on August 8th, but they have events on Friday, Saturday, and maybe Sunday morning. But visit the Swisher City website and learn more about Swisher Fun Days. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Janelle. There were not a lack of events going on in the community, the RAGBRAI, the fair, moving into all the fall events as well. It's really a treat to be in Johnson County and participating in these. I did want to mention a couple of things. I had the ECI COG, East Central Iowa Council of Governments Transportation Technical Advisory Committee meeting this week. The STP and STP and TAP funds are coming out. That's funding applications for road projects and communities for their road and trail projects within their communities. They're going to have a mandatory pre-meeting workshop before those applications, so they have to attend that meeting before they can apply. There's always a mix-up on information in the application process, so they're going to require that. I think that's going to take place in early September. Then they'll have the October application deadline, and then December they'll be making their awards. Now, we don't really know the amount of money that's going to be available for those grants. The federal government is always slow of getting that down, so we won't know until probably about December what the amount of money is that's available for those apps. But be sure to get the applications in. Everyone here has worked the fair booths as they've been here. It's been real fun activities going on, and there's so much that goes on here. The pork producers and the beef producers are real center of attraction here for their food production products that they sell for lunch and in between. So we contribute to them, and we appreciate all that they do. Need to remember there's the pie contest yet this afternoon. There's the livestock auction tomorrow, starting about 8:30, I think that starts, or 9. That's all the projects that are auctioned off and all the businesses that participate and put that money back into the 4-H kids projects. It's good to see that happen. Then there's the fireworks, and of course the veterans retires the colors this evening as well. So there's a lot still going on, so hope to see you out here. Is there anything other from the board? We will be adjourned. Thank you.
Public.
Anyone from public wishing to speak? Seeing no one, we are adjourned.
Nice job, everyone.
Thanks.